Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, on a mission to create remodeling experiences worthy of 5-star online reviews. See the difference at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. St. Louis's music scene continues to produce world-class acts. One of the latest is alternative R&B artist Jordan Ward. 13 years ago, he drove to Los Angeles the day after graduating from Parkway North High School to pursue a career in the arts. That drive led to Ward dancing with superstar Beyoncé at Coachella in 2018. And in the years since, Ward has released 2 albums. His latest is titled Backward. STL PR reporter Chad Davis last interviewed Jordan Ward in 2023. They caught up ahead of Ward's St. Louis tour stop at Del Mar Hall last week. Here's Chad.
Backward came out in January, of course. I'll let you describe the album, but before I do that, you know, I was shocked by just kind of like the level of instrumentation, or, you know, the instrumentals that you had on that album, you know, just the layers of that too, a lot of live instrumentation from there. So, you know, it all of that happens and it's complex, but it still sounds like a Jordan Ward album. It still sounds like, you know, something that you've been doing for the past several years. You know, what pushed you into that direction with, you know, live instrumentation, and how would you describe the album?
For sure. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd say, yeah, coming from the last album, we definitely intentionally incorporated more live instrumentation, more raw vocals, less processing on the music, just more raw sounds. But in general, I would just describe this album as just me once again opening up and let people know how I'm living, what's going on in my life, and where I'm at as a person. I feel like with every album, I try to just encapsulate what makes that era or what makes that moment unique and special, you know. So with Valley Hopefuls, it was kind of inspired by my journey of like transitioning from being a dancer to a music artist, all within the same region of the San Fernando Valley, like North Hollywood, you know, going to the dance studios in North Hollywood to the recording studios in North Hollywood, you know, and then forward. It's kind of characterized by like a sense of ambition. Like, I'm here, I'm dropping my album. You know, we're confident, we're establishing, letting you know who we are, but there's excitement. And then this album, you know, still exciting, but, you know, I turned 31 like 2 days after the album came out. So, you know, I'm just reflecting on my life in a different way, reevaluating who I am, how I've been living, the things I'm carrying, the things that are pulling, that may be holding me back. You know, I think when you're younger, you have this ambition and this like unchecked confidence, which is super dope. You know what I mean? You're just all about chasing your dreams, and I'm still trying to chase that. I still, you know, am ambitious and driven, but, you know, as you get older, certain mistakes in your body and, you know, work, all of it is way less forgiving, and you just reconsider how you really living.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was interesting that you're talking about, you know, what this album means and think about the last album, because when we spoke a few years ago, you were talking about how Forward is about looking forward, but also for Ward, you mm-hmm. know, and for mm-hmm. your family and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So, you know, when you think about this album Backward, it seems like it's about your past and things that have happened in your life, whether it's with, you know, fatherhood or looking back at other past experiences. You know, how did you come to the decision that you wanted to be more reflective on this album?
I'd say a lot of the starting points for this album came from seeing what may feel like gaps in the last album. Being like, oh, I didn't talk about this, let me talk about that. Or, oh, I have a different perspective on this, let me give an evolved thought on that. And also just, like I said, I be writing about music in real life, so as things are happening, I mean, there's things I talk about on the album that not even happened super deep in my past, that just happened recently, that almost felt like moments where I was waking up at the wheel about to crash, you know, and I had to swerve.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long had you been working on this record?
I never stopped making music, man. So, I mean, literally, since the last one, never stopped, haven't stopped making music. I had the title for it the same day we came up with Forward. You know, it started as a joke, and then it evolved. But I've been working on it since the last one. I mean, as we were putting the album together and picking the songs and transitioning from the raw material stage, all right, let's just cook, let's just make songs, let's just create material, transitioning that from, okay, let's start finishing these ideas and turning them into records, finishing these demos, turning the best one into records. We probably had like 150 different ideas over the time.
Wow.
Since the last album that we were sorting through. So, you know, and I know people probably make more than that. Like Future probably makes like 150 songs a month. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we definitely put time and effort into it.
Wow. I'm sure him, Wayne, Cardi, all those artists, you know, they...
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they outworking me for sure. Like, I don't got 1,000 songs, like, just from last year. I don't have that.
But when it comes to this record, though, I mean, you have a lot of, like, different layering that we talked about and a lot of, like, rich production that kind of stood out even from the past record. I read that you were listening to a lot of, like, 70s music to prepare for this album, to record this album. What was it about that style of music or that era of music that, you know, kind of captivated and resonates with you?
Well, first off, if we're talking about production, I got to shout out everybody who worked on the album. Like, Lito executive produced the album, like he executive produced the last one. Had Louis Lastic on and Jermaine Paul. It's so many people. Zach Ezzy, a lot of people. That live instrumentation is... That comes from the gang, so shout out to them. But I think I just had an affinity for like artists coming out of that era because there were a lot of great songwriters, and there are great songwriters in every era. But just something about, you know, that 70s, 80s, even late 60s, like the bill where there's the Joni Mitchell, like, you know, my moniker for this album is Stoney Mitchell. You know what I mean? So like, I damn near like I took her swag. You feel me? Like, I'm Stoney Mitchell. You know what I mean? Like, James Taylor, Bonnie Raitt, Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway, you know what I'm saying? Just these songwriters. And it was they were all kind of blending soul, R&B, rock, soft rock, folk, you know what I mean, blues. Also, man, what's my man's name? Michael McDonald, bro. From St. Louis, bro.
I was like, St. Louis legend.
Bro, from St. Louis, and he was important to, like, a lot of that pop, progressive pop, R&B, jazz, fusion, white people R&B. That was coming out in, like, the late 70s and the early 80s. Afro Toto and all that.
That yacht rock stuff.
I'm trying not to. I know they don't like that term.
Do they not? Oh, man. Never mind.
But I love that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's so good music.
You know, so just they were writing good songs, they were doing cool chords, and it was just inspiring me as somebody who I'm trying to get better at writing songs every day, you know, and trying not to just rely on production and just vibe. I really wanted to write something that was, you know, relatable.
Yeah.
And that translated, you know, that stood on its own.
For sure.
And I feel like they did that.
When you're making music, do you have like a clear vision of like, I'm trying to make, you know, an indie record or a hip-hop record or an R&B record? Or for you, is genre just like really fluid, not really kind of part of like, you know, there's not a concentrated effort to make a specific type of song?
For sure. I mean, I definitely have specific interests in different genres, you know, but when I'm creating, yeah, I'm not really trying to stick within one genre. If anything, if that thought comes into the room, it's like, all right, we gotta switch it up. You know what I mean? Because, we don't want any limitations with the creativity, you know. But I don't mind whatever genre you call it, man. R&B is, if you want to call it R&B, that's great. R&B is the mother genre of so much. I'll never have a problem being called R&B. You know, I sometimes look at myself as a hip-hop artist. Even if I'm singing on a folk beat, it's like what it represents. Yeah. You know, I might not be a rapper, but I always feel like coming from St. Louis, coming up with the influences that I came up on, I'm personally always see myself as a hip-hop artist, but I had to let that go and just be like, you know what? Maybe I'm a pop artist. Maybe I'm a soul artist. You know, some of these songs are indie. I love indie music. You know what I mean? I love rock music. I love indie rock. You know, I love shoegaze. You know what I'm saying? I love rage music. I love trap music. I love jug music. I love Yo Gotti. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to show it all. I love John Mayer. You know what I mean?
You're in good company because we're all very, very, very similar.
Across the board, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that hip-hop fact, that point that you're making, I mean, I feel like that makes a lot of sense because, you know, you think of like a Mary J. Blige or like
Erykah Badu.
And Erykah Badu, and it's like, are they...
K-Tronada.
Yeah, K-Tronada. Right, exactly.
He's not rapping, but you can't tell me K-Tronada not hip-hop. Like,
for real. Exactly. Know? Exactly. Well, okay, so, you know, when we're talking about even the lyrics of this record, like, you know, Stranger or Why, you know, Till Then, like, these are all pretty introspective records and songs. And Till Then struck me because that feels like one of the emotional cores of the record. You know, you're talking about fatherhood, you're talking about, you know, absentee fatherhood and this cycle. So, one, you know, is this a song that was, you know, based off of your life, and is this a song that was difficult to even write?
For sure, yes. Definitely based on my real life. And yeah, that probably added to the fact that it was difficult to write. I mean, I probably wrote a couple different versions of that song before we landed on it. And then when we landed on it, you know, rewrites and re-recordings, and then there was a whole process of just finding the right production, you know what I'm saying? The right drums. We had the sounds, but we was just trying to find the right drums. And, you know, it is difficult and uncomfortable to, you know, share certain things in the music. Sometimes I question why I even do it. Like, I genuinely don't want people in my business, bro. You know what I mean? But as an artist, I just feel like if I'm not giving you what's weighing on my heart the most, or the most urgent thing, whether it's good or bad, it's not gonna come off as authentic. You know what I'm saying? So even on a song like Till Then, I like that you said it's the emotional core, because I really do feel like at the end of that record, I get to a point where it's like, you know, I say maybe it's time I let it go. You know what I'm saying? And being paired with the album like Backward, it's really just me sorting through a bunch of things I'm trying to let go and move on from. You know what I'm saying? Before I crash. You know what I'm saying?
Think of my son, who I ain't even had yet. I'll take him to the park then and teach him some cards. Show him how to hold his hands when he's boxing. Now he'll learn from watching. I'll save it all, save it all, save it.
Even with that, and like you're talking about, like that emotional, we're talking about the emotional core of that record, and you know, sometimes the difficulty of like opening up. Do you hear from fans though, and listeners who, you know, really resonate with those tracks and are like, oh, you know, they're grateful for, you know, you opening up because they can relate to that too?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, man. Like some of the things people tell me about the music, you know. Yeah, and it definitely makes it all worthwhile.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation between alternative R&B singer-songwriter Jordan Ward and STLPR's Chad Davis. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at jemastl.com.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's return to STLPR reporter Chad Davis's conversation with R&B singer-songwriter Jordan Ward. They caught up with each other ahead of Jordan's homecoming stop in St. Louis as part of his apartment tour, which spans 29 cities across North America and the UK. Here's Chad.
You're big on visuals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so interested when I saw like the short film for Backward because it was very surreal. The apartment tour, here you are in an apartment complex. You're going through all these different rooms. The last time we spoke, you had talked about, you know, you would sometimes just throw on like a Miyazaki film while you're recording and working on stuff. So now that I see, you know, more visuals and more surreal and like experimental visuals, it made me wonder, you know, what are you watching that is kind of like, you know, inspiring some of the visuals and how important is that for, you know, in the album process?
For sure. Well, I mean, I worked with a great director on that film. His name's Jacob Pardomana. He's from Costa Rica by way of Virginia.
Mm.
Him and his brother, they worked together a ton. And, you know, a lot of that on that specific film, the visual aesthetics were brought by them because they have a specific style. Yeah, but that film, that was really something that it emerged from the core concept of the album and the tour. Well, just everything is just, it's been building out. You know what I mean? I love how Kendrick Lamar said, not that I'm comparing myself to Kendrick Lamar, but he's like,
good,
yo,
man.
A lot of the album's premeditation. You know what I'm saying? So just thinking about, oh, that would be cool to connect there, and it's really just world building. You know what I mean? Just trying to create space to come experience and feel something. So I'm not really a huge film buff. I'm not like a crazy film buff. I watch a lot of YouTube. I listen to a lot of interviews. I love geography. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not crazy about film. But yeah.
Well, okay. So actually, because I was going to ask you if you would be like interested in acting. Is that something, so you are a performer, you dance, you make music, I mean, is that something that's in your future?
You know, I started acting. I was a theater kid.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I was a Muni kid. I don't know if you know about the Muni kids.
Oh, yeah.
And the Muni, like,
uh-huh.
I was a Muni kid. I did plays at my school, plays at the Black Rep. Like, I did a film called Street Ballers. It was a director named Matthew Krentz out here, and like, it was like 2006. Like, I did a lot of acting as a kid, but now as I'm older, I don't know, I just feel a little silly doing it. But if somebody want to throw me a big-ass bag, I'm down. Like, if you want me to just be like Chris Brown popping in and like Sweet Life of Zach and Cody back in the day, like, I'm down, bro. And honestly, if there's something, I mean, I had a ton of fun making that film. Like, I think SNL would be so fun to do. Like, I would love to do SNL.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. You could be host, musical guest, double duty.
You know what I'm saying? Being a skit. Like, that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
That would be fire. Smoking Partner, you know, that's the song that we got with Sailor.
Hell yeah. Great songwriter.
Great songwriter.
And now she's writing for other people. It's crazy.
When I get back, say, can I smoke with you? She only smokes with me. I can't say too much, I get choked up, feeling truth in the ashtrays. I make room for you, always say a prayer to the split. I don't pass my blood to no one else but you, baby. You can help yourself. She only smokes for me. She only smokes for me.
So how did that work out? How'd you all meet? You all seem to have like good chemistry because that was a really good duet.
Hell yeah. I mean, we work with a couple of the same producers, so it was just like a matter of time type thing. Like, just got a text one day like, yo, I'm over here, you know, like, want to pull up on us? And just pulled up and then was mad cool, man. Like, she's very creative. She's a very good songwriter, very confident. And we played each other, like, our albums, like, parts of our albums before they came out. Because when I met her, she really only had, like, a couple songs out. And when I heard the album, I was like, oh, like, I'm a fan. Like, we got hits, you know? So I'm just grateful to work with people that actually, that, like, inspire me, you know what I mean?
Well, who are some artists that you haven't worked with yet that, you know, you really feel like, you know, you need to collab with or you really want to collab with?
Well, collabs is hard on me because I just have this thing. I wish I was more like people where it was like, yo, I like your music, do a collab. But me, I be thinking so much more about it. Like, it's like, yo, if I put your art and then I meet you, I just want to just show respect and just, like, let you, I want you to feel appreciated as an artist, you know, and then, like, maybe we could build a relationship and work, but if not, it's all good, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like I don't even push for a lot of collabs, but, I mean, yeah, Kendrick Lamar, bro, come on, man. K-Dot, bro, what we doing?
That would be so
SZA, what we doing? Come on, Twin. Tyler, the Creator, what we doing? You know what I'm saying? I love Earl's sweatshirt.
Mm.
I love Claro. Mm. She's fire. Sexy Red, bro. Come on, man. Like,
yo, that would be fire, yeah.
Metro Boomin, too. Mm. Like, we both, I did my last 2 years of high school at Parkway North. You know what I mean? So we all got to see him, like, you know, he was like a year older than me. So we got to see him graduate and then, like, he was in, like, Double XL the next year and, like, doing, like, Future karate chopping. So, like, but yeah, it's a bunch of people, man. It's a bunch of people I want to collab with. I can't even think of them all.
Well, when it comes to St. Louis, and you obviously just brought up, you know, Sexy Red and, mm-hmm. and SZA, you still collaborate a lot with St. Louis artists. Mm-hmm. How important is it to you to, you know, continue to kind of, like, champion the people who are from the city, who are from the region? When it comes to different music, you did a song with Mastermind, of course, and
Mastermind,
Souls of Liberty,
man. Mastermind, shout out Mastermind, man. He's a freaking legend. My first time performing, like, on a lineup, like, to a ticketed event, was opening up for Mastermind at Del Mar Hall in February 2018.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I think he, like, saw, I just dropped some music on Twitter or Instagram, and he just, like, show love and gave me that opportunity. So me and Smee got one on the album. Ryan Trey, also from St. Louis. Right. It's super important, man. Man, even just, like, people in the scene right now, like, you know, Profil Reserve, like, I was, you know, I grew up in South City. I grew up not too far from where their store was located. So when I first seen them and kind of what they doing, I was super inspired and, like, they helped me, like, tap in with the community more here. Dope artist named Paco. I don't know if y'all know about Paco. And he is another guy they run together named Jonah Roy. He's a producer, an artist as well.
I gotta look them up.
They're Jonah Roy, he produced Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, I didn't know he's from St. Louis. He's from St. Louis.
He's from the crib, bro.
I am curious as much how much California has, like, inspired your sound. Since you've been there since, what, you graduated high school, right?
Immediately.
Yeah.
Day after high school, I drove to L.A. Super inspired my sound. I mean, St. Louis is, like, my heart. I am St. Louis. That's my blood. That'll never leave. But, you know, L.A. has truly become a home for me. You know what I'm saying? And even when I was a kid, I used to go to L.A., during the summers, you know, me and my mom would put our money together and send me out there for a weekend to do a dance convention or for a week to, like, do some workshops and just get super inspired by the swag, the fashion, you know what I'm saying, the diversity.
You started the industry as a dancer, so when you're making music, is dance at the forefront of your mind still when you're doing songs, or is that something that's kind of, like, changed since you've really kind of, like, focused more on singing and music?
I wouldn't say it's at the forefront of my mind. I'd say it's, like, in the walls of my mind. Like, it's just, I'm a dancer. Like, when I hear music, that's just how I hear it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like even just connecting to it on a level of feeling, like physically feeling that, you know, I just feel like I'm in touch with how music makes me feel. And, you know, sometimes I'd be on stage and I'm moving to a song that I never even thought I would be moving to for real, but it's just got me just moving and just, you know, just feeling the music. So it's not really at the forefront of my mind, but it's never gonna leave, you know? Like, I don't know if I would make music anywhere near the same way that I do without having history as a dancer or being a dancer. It's not even my history, I am a dancer.
Obviously, you started off as a dancer, you started off as a theater kid, but when you're looking back at, you know, that time and the music that you're doing now, I mean, is there anything that you have taken from dance and, you know, theater performances that you now put into your music?
For sure. I mean, when we was putting this tour together, I definitely was intentionally like, yo, this needs to be theater. Like, if someone said the show was theatrical, that would be like one of the best compliments. You know what I'm saying? Because we want to get people to show, man. You know what I mean? The last tours that we did was great. It was magical. It was our first shows, you know, but it was really just me and my DJ up there. But, you know, now having, you know, a little bit bigger stage, a little more budget to play with the tour, I can bring some musicians, like, man, I really want to get people to show. You know, like, I want to make people fall in love with the music. You know what I'm saying? And especially because people pay money for the tickets. I don't know if people realize, like, as artists, like, we basically give our music away for free. Like, you know, and gladly. Like, well, not hella gladly. I would, like, you know, talk a little something. But, you know, with no hesitation. So, you know, the fact that people come out and pay money for tickets, it's like, all right, how can we elevate that and make it more worthwhile, you know? So really just want to give people a show, man.
That was Jordan Ward, St. Louis-born singer-songwriter, in conversation with STLPR reporter Chad Davis. They caught up with each other ahead of Jordan's homecoming performance as part of his apartment tour last week at Del Mar Hall. That tour concludes in London, England, in April. Jordan Ward's latest album, Backwards, is now streaming. More information can be found at jordanward.world.
Today's segment was produced by Maya Norfleet and Chad Davis.
Recording and audio editing by Maya Norfleet.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.